we all be able to sing it. The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He caused the blinded eyes to see. He saved the sinful whole soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They spoke not a word, but listened to His voice, content in His presence to be. For no one before had cared for their souls like the Savior who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest, and He caused the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. Thank the Lord just for being such a great Savior, the healer of my soul. I tell you what, He's the one who blesses my heart and gives me peace.
Afternoon, open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. This is the 24th of May, and so we're going to glean something, garner, if you will, something from the 24th Proverbs. I always say a proverb a day helps keep the evil away. Amen. You need to read a proverb every day. There's plenty of them. There's enough of them, even for months with 31 days. And he said, well, what about the ones that don't have 31 days? Just read the other chapter as a bonus. Amen. Just enjoy it. Get the full benefit of learning the wisdom of the mind of God. That's what Proverbs is. It's the mind of God. This afternoon, let me read. We'll begin reading in verse number 30. He says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. We're thankful for Your blessed presence, Your wonderful, wonderful person, and Your great power. We ask You, Lord, now that as we look at Your Word today, that You would speak to us, Lord, and give us instruction, the wisdom from the mind of God. We ask You these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a lot of people today, they have these, there's all kinds of websites and stuff people do on their phone. They got Pinterest, they got all kinds of stuff, and they swapping back and forth all these recipes and everything like that. And as I looked at this, as I was thinking about this, you know, this is a recipe that we've read. It's a recipe for ruin. Amen. Then I'd like to preach this afternoon just for a few minutes on the recipe for ruin. If you want to ruin your life, young children, this is the recipe. This is how you do it. I want you to notice now this follows in the book of Proverbs. If you read chapter 24, you'll see that there are several times, when he says, "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them." And then again he says it in verse 19, "Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked." He goes through and he's trying to help us to understand that we need to respond to people and situations and things in a wise way. We can't just go by the gut. We can't fly by the seat of our pants. That's why God gave us His Word, so that we would have a firm setting. I was talking to Brother Rob, and he said, "You know, it always seems to be there's two kinds of Christians. There's the kind who decide beforehand what they're going to do, and there's other kinds who say, well, I'll decide when the time comes, and they usually choose wrong. If you wait until the situation is upon you to make the decision of what you're going to do, more than likely you're going to do the wrong thing. You need to begin now to think about what you're going to do. To get a biblical answer, an answer from the Word of God, from the mind, from the heart of God about what you should do. You need to think about it. If something pops up in your head and you say, well, I don't know what I'd do, that's a clue, a red flag that you need to get in the Word of God, and you need to get the wisdom of the mind of God about that thing. That way, when it comes, guess what? I already know what to do. You don't have to think about it. Well, here, he's given much instruction. He's talked about how the thought of foolishness is sin, and that God's going to render every man according to his works, and you can't just try to deny. You can't just try to say, well, I didn't know it, God. I didn't see it, God. God knows your heart. He knows what you see. You can't put one over on Him. Amen. You need to understand that. And so he goes through and he talks about, I love this, in verse 23 where he says, these things also belong to the wise. Okay, so he's giving you some stuff for wise people. He said, but these things, he says, you want to have wisdom? You want to be a wise person? You need these things too. And when I got, that's a whole other message. But he goes on, but he says all that. And he says there in verse 27, it's very fitting with how this ends up. He says, prepare thy work without. Make it fit for thyself in the field. Afterwards, build thine house. Again, what's he saying? Decide now about what you're going to do when that comes. Decide now. But notice, in this recipe for the ruin, and he uses this, he's using this as a counterpoint, he's using it as a counterbalance, he's using it as to say, would you rather be stuck with a spear or not? Well, who wants to be stuck with a spear? And so that's why in these last verses, he puts it just this way. He says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. The first ingredient to a recipe for ruin is casualness. Casualness. When everything's just sort of casual. It doesn't have to be one way or the other. It's not really worth all that. It's not really worth arguing about, what Bible you're going to use. It's not really worth arguing about, all these things. The casual attitude toward the things of God. God doesn't really care what I wear. He doesn't care about a lot of different things. God just doesn't really care. I'm sorry, but somebody who wrote this, they care. How can you write all this? How can you speak all this? How can all this be in your heart and you don't care? Casualness. Where everybody just looks at God as the man upstairs. Well, I'm not really a church-going man, but I don't think God really has all that. That's casualness. God will understand. Yeah, God understands I'm a sinner and I need to repent. That's what God understands. This casual attitude toward the things of God is the first ingredient in a recipe for ruin. When you stop taking God seriously. He said, the Bible, God said in the Bible, He says, thou thoughtest I was altogether such an one as thyself. When I start thinking that God thinks like me, I'm in trouble. When I start thinking that God reasons like I do, I'm in trouble. I'm being way too casual towards God. Way too casual. Well, brother, let's not talk about the things we disagree about. Let's talk about the things we agree about. Why? Well, because that way I don't have to argue anything. We all agree. I don't have to prove anything. We don't have to mess with that other stuff. It's a casual attitude. There's a friend of mine. He's gone home to be with the Lord, but for a while he was up in Michigan, and he was hanging around with a guy who had quite diverse doctrinal views from what the Bible says. And they would like to sing and play guitars. And he said, man, he said, you and I, we ought to just go from church to church playing our guitars and singing and all that kind of stuff. And so my friend wrote me a letter telling me about this and asking me, well, should I do that? And I said, well, let's see what Jesus says. And I began to show him, write a letter and give him scripture after scripture after scripture that talks about the concept of doctrine. Doctrine is intended, get this understanding, doctrine is intended to divide. That's the purpose of it. Doctrine is intended to divide. They went out from among us because they were not of us. If they would have been of us, they doubtless would have remained with us. But they went out from among us to manifest that they were not of us. Okay? That's what doctrine does. Remember, Jesus in the book of Revelation says, thou hast with them the doctrine who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I despise. Remember, he talked about that? Jesus told the disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and they didn't understand. He wasn't talking about the bread. He was talking about their doctrine. But the Pharisees were Jews, weren't they? Yes, but they had false doctrine. Casualness to the things of God. That's the first ingredient in a recipe for ruin in your life. Is to be casual, to just sort of gloss over the pages. Everybody just wants to gloss over it instead of looking at it. Every word. The Bible says man shall not live by bread alone. What did God say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Each one of these words is important. God had a man invent the printing press. I was talking to somebody earlier at FedEx. They were talking about the printing press and all this kind of stuff. And I said, well, you realize, though, don't you, that the printing press was invented specifically, solely for the purpose of printing the Word of God? Really? I never heard that. Yeah. That's why he invented it, so he could print out copy after copy after copy of the Word of God, because every word is important and every person needs to have a copy so they can look at every word. I love it. Over there at IBC, I love that Bible they got down there. It's a King James 1611. It is over 400 years old. 400 years. 404. Be exact. And it is still, the ink on it is crisp. It's out in the open where you can turn the pages. I get excited about that. I mean, it is a 1611 Bible. And it says the same thing this one does. Go figure that. You know why it says the same thing this one does? Because there are some people who were not casual with the Word of God. They weren't casual with it. They said, man, and you read the dedication in front of it. These men said, man, this is the most important thing in the world. And they wanted to get it right. That's why it took them 13 years. It was 13, right? To translate it. Man, they put out new versions now every year or two. You know? And only a few of the people there have any knowledge of languages. The rest are just there to see if it sounds right. That's what the rest of that board does. They aren't Bible scholars by any stretch of the imagination. But every one of those men who translated this book were Bible scholars. I mean, they didn't need to ask somebody. They knew how to read the word, the languages. They asked others. They talked to them about it. They had a free hand to go to anybody in the kingdom who they thought could help. They weren't casual about the Word of God, about the doctrine of God. Casualness is the first ingredient in the recipe. There he was, a man void of understanding. He didn't want to have to go through the trouble of having to work through all the difficult issues to understand it. And that's the way most Christians are today. They don't want to go and study the Word to know. This is what it says. I know it's true. God showed it to me here. I can show it to you. That shouldn't just be the preacher. That should be every child of God. Casualness. Notice it says, and lo, it was all grown over. He's looking at this guy's vineyard who was void of understanding, and it was all grown over with thorns. Where'd thorns come from? The Garden of Eden because of sin. And nettles had covered the face thereof. And then it says, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. The second ingredient to recipe for ruin is carelessness. Carelessness. Casualness has to do with, you know, your attitude towards it. Carelessness has to do with the lack of doing and keeping up what is necessary for it to function. Thorns and nettles had covered the face of it. Well, nothing grows through thorns and nettles. It chokes everything off. Remember the parable of the seed and the sower? And it said that some of it fell upon what? In among the thorns. And what did Jesus say that the thorns did? It choked it off. That's what the thorns do. Carelessness. Allowing sin to continue on in our life, and we don't do anything to try to correct it. We don't fight it. We don't resist it. We just say, well, that's just the way I am. Carelessness is the second ingredient to a recipe for ruin in your life. Being careless. Allowing sin to go on unchecked, unchallenged, undisciplined in your own heart and mind. If we would judge ourselves, God said, we would not be judged. You and I wouldn't have to go through chastening if we judge ourselves. If we'd look at our own sin and say, God, look at this. This is wicked. And do something about it. You don't understand. I've been trying for years. Try a few more. A just man falleth seven times, as even says right here in this book, Proverbs, chapter of Proverbs, and riseth again. He doesn't stop. He's not careless about sin. Notice, he talked about the thorns and the nettles, but then he talked about the stone wall thereof being broken down. I learned something about the stone walls when we went down to, I'll watch that park down there, Spring Mill. If you go down there to Spring Mill, they've got stone walls around the houses and around the yards. And so they were there, and I said, these are awfully small areas. Did they keep animals in? They said, no, they built those to keep the animals out. We put up fences, the dogs in the fenced yard, right? They put up fences to keep animals out of the yard. That Bible verse made a lot more sense to me when I learned that. It's to keep things out. Listen to me. So many people look at the Word of God and they say, oh, God said I can't do this, I can't do that. And, in their minds is all the things that I'm restricted from. No, those are the things that God builds a wall to protect you from, to keep out of your life. To keep those things away from your heart. And that's why He gives us His Word. That's what you build the wall with, is the Word of God. And it keeps the devils and the dogs and the demons out. That's what you do. You build the wall with the Word of God. But notice His wall is what? Broken down. That means there's places where it's down and other places it's sort of a crumbling mess. And the world's full of Christians like that today. Oh, they got a little bit of Bible here and a little bit of Bible there. Well, they believe this about God, but they don't believe that. I don't want all that. And so they push that part of the wall down. Carelessness. The wall has to be maintained. It has to be maintained. I went to, I can't remember where it was. I think it was a Taco Bell or something. We went someplace and I went to the bathroom and they had tile. You know, on the walls and the floors. And I was looking at the tile, and there were several places where the grout was all falling out. Several places on the floor and on the wall where the grout was just cracked and falling out. Boy, the grout's there to keep stuff out from underneath the tile. And I looked at that and I said, man, somebody needs to get in here and re-grout this wall. Because it needs to be kept up. They were careless. Careless. They didn't care to keep it up. They didn't want to pay the price. They didn't want to do the work. Hey, listen, I can give you Bible all day. I could preach to you 6 hours, 7 hours a day. And you know I could. It won't do you no good. I'm just shelling out the materials. You got to pick them up and apply them. You're the one who has to go to the wall and say, hey, my wall's getting a little shaky here. I need to rebuild that. I need to reconnect with the Word of God on that area of my life. Because carelessness will kill your crop and expose you to the animals. Being careless. That's the second one. The third ingredient for the recipe of ruin is catastrophe. Catastrophe. Look what he says. Then I saw and considered it well. He said, I thought about it, man. He said, I thought about what I saw. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You see, it wasn't enough that he took lightly what he had. It wasn't enough that he didn't care to restore what he'd lost. But in the end, we see that he went to sleep. He became totally oblivious. He went into dreamland. You've all had dreams. Don't you hate those dreams that are so much like your real life that when you wake up, you're not sure that wasn't a real event? Don't you hate that? I mean, it's just so much like what you're, it's real people in your life. Everything looks real. You know, it seems right. The reactions seem right. But it didn't really happen. It was just a dream. But man, you thought for sure. Because you're in dreamland. In dreamland, anything. You know, when I don't like something in a dream, you know what I do? I stop the dream. I say, wait, stop. No. That's not the way it's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. And I dream a whole different dream than what my brain was doing. I just stop it and I redirect the dream. I don't really go. I don't want to go there. If I don't like it, if I'm in a fight with aliens in my dream, you say, you dream about fighting aliens? I have. I had a dream about fighting aliens one night, punched my wife in the eye. But it was a punch about like this. That was the punch. In my dream, it was much faster. But if I'm losing, I pop out an ultimate weapon. Boom! Ha-ha! That's the way my dreams go. I don't know about y'all, but that's the way my dreams go. But the problem with dreams is they're not real. And when you go to sleep, you might dream about your vineyard, and your vineyard looks great in your dream. But in reality, it's a thorn-covered mess. You know, everybody wants to be the greatest whatever, you know. I want to be the greatest hockey player. I want to be the greatest basketball star. I want to be the greatest. Everybody wants to be the greatest. They imagine they can see them doing it. Woo, look at me, look what I can do. But, you know, the problem is it's just imagination. In order to be that, you've got a lot of work to do. A lot of sacrifice to make. You see, and he's dreaming. And the problem is that he's sleeping and dreaming, and because of that, he doesn't see the catastrophe that's coming. He doesn't see the catastrophe that's coming. The woman goes out and she marries some guy who's been divorced. The reason she does is because she thinks she's different. She does. She thinks she's different. Or the guy, he thinks he's different. Let me ask you this, ladies. How many of you have ever had to pick up your husband's socks off the floor? Raise your hands. Be honest. Raise your hands. Uh-huh. Guess what? Sarah's testifying for the future. How, you know why that is? Because all men are the same. And all women are the same too. Newsflash. But you see, in the dream world, I'm different. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. That's the truth. We're all the same. We have different personalities, different likes and dislikes, but we're all basically the same on the same operating system. There's a guy program and a girl program, and it's all basically the same. There are girls who try to break into the guy. They try to hack into the guy system and try to incorporate some of the guy, but it doesn't work. It doesn't take. It's just it doesn't really work that way. They just try to look that way. It's a dream. It's not real. It's not different. He says here that your poverty will come as one that traveleth. Everybody's traveled before, right? You traveled to come here, right? I mean, nobody just popped up in the parking lot this morning, right? There you were. No. You all got here because you said, man, I'm going to go over to the church. So you got up, you got dressed. Hopefully you either showered this morning or last night, I don't know. But you got up, got dressed, you got in your car, and you drove, you took the road, and you got here. Because you're traveling. You see, but I just noticed when people started showing up. I didn't see your trek. I didn't see the road you took. Now, I got an iPhone, and I've got most of my family has iPhones, except for some. But I have the iPhone so that because I got this thing called Find My Phone. And I can find out where everybody is in case I need to find them. Or in case they need to find me. They can find out where I am. And you can actually watch. It'll give you show up, and you hit the button refresh, and it'll show, boop, they moved a little further, boop, they moved a little further. So you can watch them sort of travel. But still, a traveler starts from someplace to get to your house. And he says, that's the way the poverty comes. There's one that traveleth. The minute you start getting casual and careless, he starts on his trip. to your house. And when he gets there, if he finds that everything's broken down, well, he can just step right in, can't he? It says there that thy want as an armed man. As an armed man. Well, what's an armed man coming to do? To rob you? I saw this thing on Facebook, and it said, I can't remember what it, it was a picture, and it had a thing that said, no weapons of any kind, a sign. And then this guy with a mask on and a weapon, and the thought bubble says, oh, rats, I guess I better find someplace else to go commit a crime. And then at the bottom it says, said no criminal ever. You know, sign, you know, you put up no weapons whatsoever. That's not going to stop a criminal from coming in and using weapons. He doesn't care about that sign. He's already going to break the law anyway. What's he care about your little sign? An armed man comes for one reason and one reason only, to take by force from you that which is yours, which is of value. That's why he comes. And when you and I allow ourselves to be casual about our life with God, careless about the things that are in our lives that we allow, we're waiting for catastrophe to come. We're waiting for catastrophe to come. Like an armed man to rob you of all that is valuable. You remember the story of the prodigal son? He said, Father, give me that portion of the inheritance which is mine. And so his dad gave it to him. What a understanding father. And the Bible says that he went out. And you remember what the words were? He wasted his substance on riotous living. That's what this is a picture of. You say, well, I'm not out wild parties. No, but you're wasting your substance. You're living a riotous life. You're not taking seriously your life with Christ. You don't take knowing God seriously. You just don't. That's why churches get smaller. Because the people stop taking God seriously. Church just becomes someplace they go on Sunday. Instead of a center where they intend to get the gospel out to their community and to the world. The Bible just becomes a book of good thoughts instead of a communication to them from the heart of one who loves them more than anyone has ever loved them. That's what it becomes. It always sort of bothers me. I mean, I understand the reference. You know, when people say, well, you're a man of God. You're a holy man. You're not. You're not a holy woman. You don't believe in a holy life. You don't have a special relationship with God. You don't have an overpowering relationship with Him that changes your mind and your heart? Are only preachers supposed to have that? No. See, it's a recipe for ruin. Because once you start getting casual and careless, man, that traveler starts coming down the road. And he's armed. And he wants to take everything of value in your life. That's what he wants to do. How many young people that we've known that were in our youth group when I was youth pastor, my wife and I, when we were working with the youth, and we gave them the counsel of the Word of God. Brother Poole, Sister Debbie, what do you think about this? Does the Bible say anything about this? Well, yes, it does. Let me show you. Okay, thanks. And they go out and do just the opposite. What are you supposed to do? See, like I say, I can give out the mortar to you all day long, but you're the ones going to have to daub the wall. I can stack up the bricks, but you're going to have to lay them in the course. I'm just a supplier. And I'm not even the supplier. I'm just a delivery boy. God's the supplier. And you got to build something. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let every man take heed, therefore, how he buildeth thereon. Wood, hay, and stubble. Gold, silver, and precious stones. What are you building? Let's pray together.